Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Well, welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show. I'm so glad that you've tuned in today, whether it is by design and you have intentionally come out to listen. So glad for those of you who listen on a regular basis. Thank you for your faithfulness, for communicating with us. And many of you have even come over and become clients. So thank you so much. I'm honored by you being consistent with your listening. Or if you happen to be stumbling upon the Legacy and Faith Show today as you drive through the Pacific Northwest or whatever your daily activities have, I'm so glad that you've tuned in. Well, today I have with me my associate attorney. Her name is Danielle Olero, and she's been with me for a little over 18 months at Planning with Purpose. And we just want to take an opportunity to have both of our voices on the radio show today and talk about what does it mean to do estate planning, some of our estate planning life cycle, and some of our philosophy. So, Danielle, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And you were with us last week, so you told a little bit about your story. So if you want to learn more about Danielle, be sure to head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, where you can find all of our podcasts. You can find educational sessions coming up, and you can communicate with us, ask questions, know where we're going to be having our educational sessions coming up. So be sure to head over to legacyandfaith.com and learn more about Danielle. And so today, what I really want to talk about is that recently we've taken over a law firm out of the Bellingham area. So now we're traveling up and down I-5 from Linwood up to Bellingham. And it's not that bad of a drive. I mean, come on now, people.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. And now it would be. So if you are in the Marysville area and you're trying to get to work in the morning, I understand that it's bad. I get it. Or if you're going home at rush hour, I get it. But typically we're going the opposite of traffic. So maybe that's why we think it's so easy.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So, but nonetheless, so we've been going up and down I-5 quite a bit more. And recently this has been a takeover or a buyout that has been in the works for several years with a phenomenal attorney up there. As a matter of fact, he likewise belonged to the organization that we do, which is called the National Network of Estate Planning Attorneys. And of course, it's called that because attorneys are very uncreative, and it's the best name that we could come up with, I guess. So it's called the National Network. And so we just refer to it as the network. Danielle, why don't you give the listeners just a little bit of insight about what is the network and why do we belong to an organization?
So the network is a couple hundred attorneys across the nation, and we all do almost exclusively estate planning. So we get together three times a year, so we're all in the same place, and we are looking at the law changes and taxes and looking at our documents to make sure that they're of the highest quality. And they're also where we get our firm philosophy of having a relationship and really bringing that to the Pacific Northwest, but also across the nation, of changing the mentality of attorneys to have a relationship with their clients in estate planning specifically.
Yeah, because most attorneys, unfortunately, at least we think it's unfortunate, are very document-driven. Here's your document. Good luck. There's very little follow-up. As a matter of fact, I have asked almost every client that is in our system, when they come to us and they have an estate plan, I've asked them, so this estate plan is 10 and 15 and 20 years old, right? How many times in the years that you've had the estate plan, did that attorney reach out to you and let you know that there's a legal change or a tax change, or that it's time for you to get to see them? And what's the answer, Danielle?
Not at all.
Never. And yeah. So that's exactly right. I think I had one client, and I'm actually telling the truth. Of course, you got to be careful because I'm an attorney, but I really am telling the truth that I think I've had one person say, well, I did have the attorney. They would send us like maybe newsletters once a year or occasionally. So that's pretty good, actually. But out of the hundreds and hundreds of people that we have serviced, to have one attorney doing something to communicate with their clients, I'm just going to say that that is a broken system. That's really unfortunate that we think that by creating a document, so really, unfortunately, by creating the document and then not having relationship, it's the attorney that has set up the public mentality to think, oh, the document is going to save the day. Well, we talked a little bit about some of the fallacies of that and some of the things that have gone wrong, specifically through a probate process. Now, in our last show, and we're seeing that come to light a little bit more because as phenomenal as the Bellingham attorney was and is, his practice was more transactional. And so some of the things that we've seen is that most people have a trust and it's done very, very well. So very, very competent, good work. But a majority of the clients have not seen him in quite some time. So what are some of the things that you've been seeing as you've sat down with clients, even though they have the right instrument and even though they've had an excellent instrument, what are some of the things that you've been seeing?
One of the biggest parts to making a trust work is to make sure that the accounts and other finances are integrated properly into the plan. And that's one of the biggest places where I see a lot of gaps. So somebody may have put their property, for example, into the name of the trust, and that makes sure that that their house is in their trust and that it's going to be distributed based on the terms of the trust. But then they've sold their property and it ended up back in their personal name. Well, then,
yeah, because they repurchased another one, right?
Exactly.
So they downsized and they moved to a condo. Great, fine. But then they put the condo back in their name.
Exactly. And now we have some things under the name of the trust and some things that are outside, which means that there will be a probate along with the trust closing. And that's something that they don't expect.
Okay, but wait a minute now, because I thought that if you have a trust, that you're not going to go to probate.
Only if it's fully financially integrated. So only if your accounts are properly in the trust or pointed to the trust with beneficiary designations.
Yeah. And so that's one of the a real big fallacy that, oh, I've got a trust I'm taking care of. I'm not going to go through probate. But yet I've even had one client that walked into my office that had this beautiful binder. It was a beautiful blue. It was gorgeous. And inside was a lot of paper. And inside all that paper was a trust. I'm sure it was a great trust. Actually, it really wasn't. But nonetheless, the binder was the most beautiful thing about it. The attorney had created a pretty expensive plan. And then they handed them a binder, hundreds of pieces of paper in that beautiful cobalt blue binder, and then handed the client a piece of paper and said, go do this and go put stuff in your trust. So, in other words, the attorney didn't take 1 ounce of responsibility to actually complete their job. So, we believe that it's our job to make sure that the plan is going to work versus just creating the documents. And ultimately, that blue, cobalt, beautiful binder ended up not having one single asset in the name of the trust. Everything was in the client's name. And so, would have that plan worked?
Not the way they thought it was going to anyways.
Yeah, for sure. And when we say that we want a plan to work, what does that really mean for us?
That really means that, I mean, most people want a smooth transition like we've talked about. And there's a picture in your mind of what that will look like for you. And so making sure that the picture that you have in your mind actually comes to pass is really what we mean when we say a plan that works.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that picture that you're talking about, so imagine yourself that if you were to die tomorrow, you have an expectation, listeners, that something is going to happen. Something will happen if you die. We hope that a lot of people are crying. I know. But what does that look like? What does it mean for your family that you've died? So in other words, think of your bank account, your investments, your homes, your vehicles, your personal stuff. Now, here's one of the biggest difficulties is that we find that parents have rose-colored glasses on. So in other words, they believe that their kids are going to work marvelously together. They're going to work in harmony. There are going to be birds and butterflies flying around the kids as they make every decision. Sunlight is going to be radiant on their children, like a spotlight as they clean out the home. And everything is just going to be ushy-gushy wonderful. What are some of the things that we've seen, I guess, in the law firm? Is that a realistic picture when somebody dies?
No. Unfortunately, when you lose someone, so you're not in a good emotional place, and you put money in front of people, they do some kind of crazy things.
Yeah, they do a little bit of weird stuff, even though we don't anticipate them to do so. They really start acting outside some of their normal characteristics. We have a saying that God has really created us to look at our children in the best view possible. So we hope in their strengths as parents. So as parents, God has designed us to hope in their strengths. And we have also been designed, what I believe, is to forgive their weaknesses. And so what it does is that we rarely, if ever, see our children in a true, realistic perspective of what's going to take place. I've had clients tell me, oh, no, my kids are wonderful financially. They know exactly what they're doing financially. They're very financially responsible. And yet the way that they receive an inheritance and spend it like lightning, I would have a different picture of what financial responsibility means. Not that my definition wins. It's just that what happens when somebody passes away is rarely what the parent really thinks is going to happen. And that's why we need very specific, well-drawn-out estate planning documents so that the picture that you do want to take place, that picture you're talking about, this is what I envision happening. This is how I want you to manage the money. This is the gift I want to leave you. This is the legacy that I want the family to carry on my behalf. A well-designed document is really necessary to fulfill that. And we have created, it's called the Estate Planning Life Cycle. And one of the reasons that we've taken the time to really develop the Estate Planning Life Cycle is because we do see these funky things go on. We see probates that are really difficult and unfortunately very expensive to close. We see trusts that are intended to avoid probate, but they don't avoid probate. And so we've created really a journey for estate planning and for clients to participate in. And when we come back from break, I want to start talking about the estate planning life cycle. And so, Danielle, will you lead us through that as we get back here?
Yep, absolutely.
Fantastic. So hang on. We're going to come back to the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find out more information about us at our website at legacyandfaith.com. There's podcasts. There's information about upcoming educational seminars. There's ways to communicate with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com, and we will be right back after break. Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And welcome back to the Legacy and Faith Show. I am here with my associate attorney, Danielle Alero. So welcome back, Danielle. It's great to have you today.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun.
Excellent. Well, that's part of the game, so mm-hmm. that's really good. Well, we mentioned going into break that we want to talk about the estate planning life cycle, and I've done shows about this particular tool that we have within our firm, and it really goes through the different steps that someone can anticipate in the estate planning journey. Unfortunately, people really get caught up in section number 2, and that's all they ever do. And mm-hmm. so we're going to talk about maybe a more healthy, a more holistic way to view estate planning and what really our philosophy in estate planning is. And so as we... Well, here, let me just kind of turn it over to you. Why don't you take us through just each of the sections briefly, and then we'll come back and talk about them on a quick scale as well. So why don't you introduce the estate planning life cycle?
Sure. So the first step that we have is exploration and education. And that's really where we bring somebody in and we talk about, as estate planners, we only have 2 tools to do estate planning, and that's a will and a trust. So getting somebody to have a baseline education of what those 2 tools do.
Yeah, because we believe that by education, they can make the better and more appropriate decision about what is going to be best for their family, correct?
Mm-hmm, correct.
And so that's why we have educational opportunities over at our website, legacyandfaith.com, because we want to get you the education. It is a core value of ours that clients understand the difference and make an educated decision on what they need according to their family, according to what they have, and according to their long-term goals. We can only use the will or trust, like you said, but education is really the starting point and the gate, right? It's kind of like at a horse race. Not that I've ever been to one. And the gates open up and the bells go off because the gun went off, right? That's the education. The
yep.
gates open up, the bells are signed. You got to know what you're getting into in this journey.
Exactly. So, and I mean, I went to school for 3 years to learn about different things. So to be an attorney, and the language that we're going to be speaking throughout this journey is really hinges on this basic education of making sure that me and everyone else in that room understands the tools and the legal ramifications, and for your family, what that means.
So that's the education and exploration. And
yeah.
on to step 2 is?
So then we bring people back in and we start talking about what tool is appropriate for their family. So that's the engage and create. So we have conversations with them, go through the counseling sessions, and then start creating the documents.
And we never create a template document. All of ours are strategically created for a specific family. So the questions that we are asking are not just your rudimentary, who do you want to leave your stuff to? Thank you so much for coming in. We actually have, for the average client, probably a good 3.5, almost 4 hours. And sometimes with blended families or families that may have special needs kids, there are things that really create a moment and an issue that we need to stop and really pull that apart to make sure that we get the right answer, make sure that it's really set for the family. And how much more do we charge if we use a little more time than what we expected?
Nothing.
We don't charge anything. Well, that's not a very good business model, is it?
I know.
So the engage and create is the development of the plan itself, but it has to be strategic for your family.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, then where do we go?
Well, then we start integrating the finances into the plan. So like we were talking about earlier, that makes sure that the plan's going to work and going to work the way that people think it's going to work, is making sure that the finances are properly in the trust or pointing to the trust with beneficiary designations.
And what are some of the things that you've seen with financial integration? Is that just a, hey, once we get it in, we're all done? Or is this financial integration really a lifelong process?
It's definitely a lifelong process. Like I said, when people buy or sell houses or close different accounts, even if it's at the same institution, we still have to properly close that account and open it so that it's still integrated into the plan. So we're constantly changing our finances, and so then the way that they're integrated into the plan changes as well.
Great. And so what's our next step?
So then we have a continuation commitment, and that is where we have people come in for education, and we basically take this journey of life with them. And so they're welcome to call us and let us know that they had a new grandchild or something like that. And then we invite people into, and we're just getting finished with them now, is our annual client meetings. And that's where you and I get to talk to them about what the changes in the law and the taxes have been over the year and get people's permission to make appropriate changes in their documents to make sure that they're going to work the way that they want them to.
And really, one of the big philosophy differences in our firm is that a lot of clients would experience a disconnect after the third part, the financial integration. Well, actually, most of them find a disconnect after the engage and create. Some attorneys are really, really good and follow through with their clients, get things into the trust. And so that's great. But to my knowledge, I don't know any other attorney in the Pacific Northwest that actually says, now come and let's remain together in this journey. So things are going to change and the law is going to change. We got to keep you updated. So in the process of making fine-tune adjustments, now we charge an annual fee for that maintenance program. But if someone is in the maintenance program and they have a fine-tune change, what does that look like for us? So do we make the adjustments for them?
Yeah, we make the adjustments for them. And we actually, each year we send them what's called an estate planning review worksheet. And that just makes sure that if you haven't looked at your documents in the past year, it gives you the opportunity to have a high level value or a high level look at the decisions that you've made, making sure that they're still appropriate for you. And that's an easy way for them to also communicate back to us that, oh, this decision is no longer what I want. And so then we make that change and get it back into their document.
And so that is just the system, is that we need to make sure that the legal adjustments are done and then also the family adjustments. And in this financial integration step, accounts will change. Now, let me say this. There's a lot of people that may be listening to our show today saying, well, that sounds like there's just, you know, a lot of work and a lot of unnecessary things that are going on. It is impossible for us to communicate with enough vigor and enough passion to communicate to you that if you have an estate plan that is not regularly updated, that it will have a high, high opportunity to not be what you expected, or specifically for your family, that they will experience a difficult closing and it will not turn out as smooth as what you wanted. So yes, it's either that we do the work together when you're alive and we make it fine-tuned, or we're going to end up leaving a lot of extra work to your family when you pass away. But we're running out of time, so let's get through some of the other things. So we have some other opportunities in step number five.
Yep. So then we have family reception, and that is education for your beneficiaries of what does it mean to inherit a trust and why is that a good thing? What are the protections that that offers? And really be able to pass along that wisdom along with the wealth that we're transferring.
And we also do successor trustee training. So in other words, if we're going to have someone who needs to close your estate, are they ready to do that? Do they even know what it means to close an estate? Usually we're picking family members, kids, and they're stuck with this duty of closing an estate, and they have no idea what they're doing. They've never closed an estate before. And so in our system, we want to educate the next generation on these are the steps that we were going to take, and this is what it looks like, because we want that core education again. We're back to education, core value. We want that integrated into them before the life event happens, before someone passes away. So then we move on to six.
Yep. And then we have life adjustments. So as people are aging, they might need some help managing their finances. And so this is an easy way of transitioning to someone that you trust. And we walk through what does the process look like to say, yes, someone needs help managing their finances. And then what does it look like to help someone manage their finances? So again, it's back to that education and then really walking a personalized journey with that person.
Yeah, life is going to change. Mm-hmm. And we know as believers that we live in a fallen world. And so, unfortunately, it's riddled with sickness and disease. Now, it's my firm belief that Christ has won all of that back for us, and he has given us victory over those things. But in the practical sense as well, we want to use wisdom to be prepared. What if you do have that battle with cancer? What if you do have that battle with Alzheimer's? Not only is your faith ready, but is your estate plan ready? And is it flexible enough, and has it been updated recently so that it is, again, a smooth transition to the next individuals? And so then we move into number 7, which is the settlement system, which is, we're going to breeze over that for just a moment because we do only have a couple more minutes left, is what happens when someone passes away. And I think in our shows, we talk about that and weave it in quite a bit. But then we have the last one.
Yes, so then we have legacy fulfillment. And so our core goal and our core values at the firm is that, you know, you have gotten together wealth, but you also want to pass along the wisdom of how you manage that wealth well. And then the stories also of photos and stories that would be lost when we lose you.
Yeah. And so it's not just the bank account, but it's who you are. What are some of the important things about your faith that have driven you? What are some of the stories? What are some of the journeys we've taken as individuals? Well, that's the estate planning life cycle. If we've talked about something that interests you, that has maybe perked your interest and or has brought a little bit of conviction that says, boy, I really need to start this journey, we would love to have you in. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to service you if we can. We'd take you through the estate planning life cycle. So head over to our website. It's legacyandfaith.com. You can communicate with us, get past podcasts, and there's also educational opportunities coming up. So head over to legacyandfaith.com for more information. So thank you so much, Danielle, for being a part of the show. Thank you, listeners, for joining us on the Legacy and Faith Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.